Your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Found your place, if you'll stand, we'll read a few verses here and preach what we feel the Lord's laid upon our heart this morning. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more." Just remember that phrase right there, to please God. Please God. "For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing." Lord, we surely thank you again for the privilege we have to be at your house today. Lord, I pray that you'll help us for just a little bit as we try to bring this message. Lord, I pray that you'll just ever help us to gather our minds in from the perishing things of this world. Lord, get it fixed and centered upon you. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts through the Word of God today. Lord, I pray that if there's one here under sound of our voice on the webcast that's lost and don't know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that this will be the day that they'll come to know you as their personal Savior. Lord, that they'll call upon your name, Lord. And I'm glad that one day back yonder as a teenager, Lord, that you spoke to me, Lord, and you drawed me and you called me. And Lord, I responded to that invitation, Lord, and come and received you as my Savior. Lord, I pray that you'll help us now today for just a little bit. Lord, hide us behind the cross. Help us to preach what we feel that you've laid upon our heart. I pray that you give us receptive hearts to the Word of God, and we'll give you glory and praise for all that you do and accomplish. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. You can be seated. We preached last Sunday morning and Sunday night on the thought of, is the Lord pleased with you? And we looked there in the book of Mark and looked at a few things on Sunday morning just by way of introduction. And then Sunday night we preached on, is He pleased with our affections toward the Savior? And then we preached a little about, is He pleased with our action in society? And another thought was, is He pleased with our attendance to the sanctuary? And then number four was, is He pleased with our attempts of service? And then number five, is He pleased with our attitude toward the saints? And number six was, is He pleased with our allegiance to the Scriptures? And we gave you several sub-thoughts on each one of those thoughts, and I was trying to find what the Lord would have us to preach on this morning. And I come back to this same thought, basically, but in a little different realm of pleasing God. Not the question, is He pleased with us, but this morning, are we pleasing God? Is He pleased? Are we doing the things that please Him? There in verse 1 of chapter 4, Paul said, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God." God's concerned with our lives this morning. I believe each and every one of us. He didn't just save us and to carry us to heaven. But He saved us for a reason. He's left us here to be salt and light. And He's pleased, and He wants us to be pleasing unto Him in our walk with the Lord Jesus. And we find here, we've studied the book of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians on Wednesday night. We'll not go back and preach all this. I just want to preach on this one thought of pleasing God. It ought to be our desire to please Him. But in this fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, it has two parts. The first, various practical exhortations there in verses 1 through 12. And the second, suggestions designed to console those who have been bereaved there in verses 13 and through 18 about the return and the rapture of the church. The first part deals with several subjects. One is an exhortation to increase and abound in the Christian virtues which they had already manifested there in verses 1 through 2. And, you know, Paul was one that exhorted people to live for God. He exhorted people to live right, to do right. And it's right to do right. It's never wrong to do right, to do wrong. And, I think it was Bob Jones Sr. said it's never right to do wrong to do right. You know, we ought not do something the wrong way in order to do the right thing. We don't have to go wrong to do right. I mean, Paul's given us specific instructions in the Word of God as Christians how to live our lives that we might be pleasing to God. And so we want to preach a little bit this morning. Now the second thing, there was a particular exhortation on the subject of sanctification there in verses 3 to 8 in which two points are specified. Probably as illustrations of the general subject and embracing those in regard to which they were exposed to special dangers. The first was fornication, the other was fraud. You know, and Paul told Timothy over there in the book of Timothy, said, flee fornication. And we as God's people today, we need to be careful. We need to flee these things. We need to not. We need to be honest one with another. We don't need to be defrauding one another, to be dishonest with our fellow man. I mean, there's just few things we can do in this walk of life. We might mess up and we might get things wrong sometime, but there are some things that we can do right. And these are some that shouldn't even be named among Christian believers, those that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But we see then an exhortation to brotherly love there in verses 9 to 10. And then we see an exhortation to honesty in their dealings, particularly with those who were Christians in verses 11 and 12. The second part is designed to comfort the Thessalonians who had been bereaved there in verses 13 through 11. And I want to look this morning at the thought this morning there in verse 1 on pleasing God. It ought to be the desire, I believe, of every born-again child of God to walk and to please God. And I believe it's possible this morning that we can, as believers, as Christians, as those that trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, to please Him. Paul wouldn't have said this if it wasn't possible, I think, this morning. But so many times we make excuses for the things that we do in our lives that's not pleasing to God. And you'll find that we are good excuse makers. We come up with what's wrong with the society, that we can't live right, that we can't please God, the one that sent His Son to bleed and die upon an old rugged cross. And we make all kinds of excuses. In reality, though, there is no excuse. God's given us this book to follow and to live our lives by and to order our steps by that we might be pleasing to God this morning. So I want to give you three things this morning about pleasing God. Number one, the first thing is those who are not pleasing God. And there's people that's not pleasing God this morning. And it's they that live only to please themselves this morning are not pleasing God. Romans chapter 15, verse 1 to 3. Say, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. And we can look at several passages of Scripture about Christ and who, why He come to this world, and He didn't come to please Himself, but He came to please His Father. And He's our example this morning. And our lives ought to please God to the best of our ability. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45 said, "But even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." So we know that Jesus came to this world for one purpose, and that was to please God, our Father, God His Father. And He is our example this morning in what we do, hey, we ought to do to please Him. And we ought to, what we do, get away from this thing of just pleasing ourselves all the time. I mean, it ought to be a desire of a born-again child of God's heart to be concerned about others. It's always me and my problems. It's always my circumstances that we're thinking about. Instead of the brother that's out there that's having problems, I mean, we ought to live our life to please God, and I believe it's pleasing to Him that we're concerned about one another. So many times we're concerned about me, my four, and no more. So those that are living to please themselves, they're not pleasing to God. He wants us to bear one another's burdens. And so many times we think, well, they got themselves into that problem, they can get themselves out. And mind you, a lot of times people do get themselves into problems. And you know, and if it wasn't for the grace of God this morning, no telling where you and I would be. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd probably be in hell this morning. But because of His mercy and His love and His care for us, He reached down and He came to this earth to bleed and die and make it possible that we could have life everlasting and we could have a good life here on earth. So there's no excuse. I mean, we've got the Word of God. So we see those that are not pleasing to God are those that are only live to please themselves. They're not pleasing to God. And then we see, they that seek to please men are not pleasing to God. Now I want to be a good pastor. And I want to be pleasing to you. I want to preach in the realm that'll be pleasing to you. So we got to all get on board. Because if not, that word's going to go against the grain. But I'm not up here down here at Flower Branch at Open Door Baptist Church to please men. I'm here to please my Father. But so many times we see people that has respect of persons and they want to please men, so they'll skirt issues a lot of times in the Word of God, just like what you're teaching about in there in this morning there in the book of James about a person comes in with goodly apparel and we'll say, "You sit up here. You can be a benefit to me, and I'm not gonna ruffle your feathers. I'm gonna skirt the issues, even though I know there's some things that's going on in your life. Maybe you are a crooked businessman. You can be beneficial to us because you got plenty of money." A lot of preachers are doing that today. They're wanting to please the deacons. They're wanting to please the money men of the church. And they are letting a lot of things go today, and that's why we're in such a mess across this land in our independent, fundamental, premillennial, Bible-preaching churches today. It's because men of God are trying to please men. And to the best of my ability, I hope I never get to that point where I will be partial to someone just because they got money. I want to treat every individual the same way. Hey, the poor man, the middle-class man, the rich man, they're all welcome here. As long as I'm here, we're going to treat them the same. I don't care if they got money or if they don't have money. I thank God for people that's got some money that can come in and bear the load. But I'm going to tell you, most of the time, it's the poor people that's bearing the load. And we don't want to have respect to person. But those that are trying to please men, they're not pleasing to God. You can't preach this word and try to please men and not preach it in its totality and be pleasing to God and man. Somebody's going to get their feathers ruffled, I promise you. Whether it's people in a pew or people that comes in and visits. A lot of people don't want this kind of preaching. They don't want us to tell them what's wrong in their life and how they ought to walk. I can't make nobody. I've always said this, I'm not a policeman. I'm not going to police you. What you do at your house, you're going to give an account to God. I'm not going to try to tell you that you got to do certain things. But I'm going to try my best to keep this church what God wants it to be. And I'm going to preach to you what that Bible says, how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God and how we ought to handle certain things the best of my ability. And if you go off out yonder and you do something, if you get in sin and bring reproach upon this church, we would deal with you. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm not a policeman, I'm a preacher. And I'm not trying to please men. I'm trying to please Him, because one of these days I'm going to have to give an account. And I'm sure there's some things that I'm going to have to probably give an account of that I'm going to answer for that might not be right. But to the best of my ability, I did it ignorantly if I did not handle the things of God the way that He seemed fit for me to handle them, or if I misinterpreted something. I try to be careful how I interpret that Bible. I'm not going to interpret it, though, to please man. Because most of the time, that book goes against the grain. I've said this many times, for the Word of God is quick, it's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hey, it cuts going in and it cuts coming out. You might not see it that way, but it does. It's sharp. It'll pierce your soul. And if you'll have a receptive heart, then you'll get those things right when the preacher preaches. But those that are trying to please men are not pleasing unto God. They that are in flesh cannot please God. Talking about a sticky subject. Now, you go talking and preaching about the flesh, and it gets real sticky. Because we're all made of flesh. Hey, that's why we have to live the crucified life. That's why we have to reckon ourselves dead. We have to put this flesh to death every day, because we can't please God walking in the flesh. This flesh, this Bible, goes against the grain of the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. The Bible says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." Why so many people are living and minding the things of the flesh? Because they're after the flesh. They've never been born again. A lot of them never been born again. Some of them have made professions, but I'm going to tell you, those that just can't get away from that flesh controlling their lives, some of them just haven't passed from death into life. That's why this Bible goes against their grain. That's why they get mad when the preacher preaches about their sin. Or they don't want to line up with what God has said to them, and they've already seen in the Word of God, and they've rejected in their lives. They're not living that crucified life, or either they're not saved. A child of God that's saved and born again, he can't walk after the flesh and be happy. There may be some joy, pleasure in sin for a season, hey, but they can't be happy very long. Because I done got wrong before, and I know I was a miserable creature. Most people that's, if they be honest, if they're wrong, they're not enjoying life. They're miserable. They'll come to church, but they're miserable the whole time. Hey, when people get to rejoicing, raising their hand and praising God, hey, they get a little bit uneasy. Because they're walking after the flesh. He said, "For they that are after flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." And that's capital S. That's the Holy Spirit. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God." It's an enemy. "For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." So this morning, if we're walking after the flesh, if we're living after the flesh, then we can't be pleasing to God. So, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, we've been saved, the Spirit of God's in us, we're in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's a good identification mark. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, if the Holy Spirit is not living in you, you don't belong to Him. Because every Christian, every individual that's ever trusted Jesus as their Savior, at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes in. They receive the baptism of the Spirit. Are we on the same page about that? There's a lot of people seeking the baptism of the Spirit. I'm going to tell you, when I got saved, I got baptized in the Spirit. The Spirit of God took up His abode in my life and in my heart. And He's been there ever since. He's never left. Now, I've grieved Him and I've quenched Him a lot of times. And I may have walked after the flesh, but I promise you I wasn't pleasing to God. And if you're walking after the flesh this morning, hey, these people that's living in sin, they're not pleasing to God. Hey, I don't care how much they pray, they're not right with God unless they pray that prayer of repentance and repent and forsake their sin and turn from it. Now, if you're walking after the flesh this morning, you can get right with God. If the Holy Ghost moves in your heart and He speaks to you, if you'll come down this altar or wherever you're sitting, if you'll just repent of your sin and turn away from that, repent, confess it, and forsake it. There's a lot of confessing going on around today, but very little forsaking. A person that's really repentant, I mean, they're going to get that thing right. If they're living after the flesh, walking after the flesh, get involved in the things of the flesh, if they really want genuine, godly repentance that worketh sorrow, hey, there'll be some open repentance, I believe. People that sin openly and walk after flesh openly, bring a reproach upon Christ in His name and the church, they need to publicly make an opinion, apology. They need to repent publicly, I believe. Now, there's some things that you don't have to repent of publicly. But if it's a known fact, and you sin against your body, you sin against the church, you sin against Christ, and it's public, people know it, there need to be a public acknowledgement of that. And then they need to be a forsaken of it. I mean, genuine godly repentance, godly sorrow worketh repentance not to be repented of again. And a person to get right. With God. Those that are after flesh cannot please God. If you're living a life of sin this morning, no way you can please God. No way. I didn't say that. The Bible said it. A lot of people are living after the flesh this morning, and they're not pleasing to God. We have to bring His flesh under subjection. It's a daily struggle. Hey, I have the same struggles you do. And we can't be pleasing to God walking after the flesh and fulfilling the lust of the flesh. You know why there's so many broken homes today? Is because, I mean, church people. There's church people today that divorce. Can you believe that? And if we don't stay close to God and we're not pleasing to Him, in our lives, we're walking after flesh. It's possible that any of us could fall into that situation today. But people that's walking in the Spirit, they're allowing the Spirit to lead them. He's controlling them. Divorce shouldn't even be in the vocabulary of a family. So many kids today. They're living with grandparents. Thank God for grandparents that will take them on and help them. But it's because a lot of times people were walking after the flesh. You can't please God walking after the flesh. Now, we're in the flesh. But we don't have to be controlled by the flesh. Hey, if we're born again, we're saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb of God, we've got a paracletos, one called alongside to help. One that can help us in any situation. I don't care what you got in your life. If you're saved, He'll help you. You have not because you ask not. There's no struggle that you have. There's no habit that you have that you can't overcome. I don't care if you were a cusser. If the Holy Ghost is living in you and you want help, He'll help you. He'll help you overcome that cussing. He'll help you overcome that drinking. He'll help you overcome that drug habit. He'll help you overcome that smoking habit. He can do it. We limit His power sometimes and we let the flesh lead us, and we're not pleasing to God when we do that. God don't want us to be controlled by something else. Those that are walking after the flesh is not pleasing to God. Walking out of the flesh keep you out of church on Sunday morning. This old flesh, a lot of times, I'd like to have done some activities on Sunday, and I'm not going to identify them. But if you know me, you probably know what they are. If I walked out of the flesh, let my flesh control me, I'd have done been doing some of it. Because this flesh is weak. Those that's walking out of the flesh cannot be pleasing to God. We're at enmity with Him when we're allowing our flesh to be... Kids, are you listening to me? You got flesh. You know how you're going to keep yourself pure? By not walking after the flesh. Not getting in a situation. I'm going to tell you what hugging and where it all started. It started out just a simple thing, holding hands if you're not careful. You get a little closer and a little closer. You get the embracing a little bit. That flesh weak. Bible says, can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burned? Can a man go on hot coals and not have his feet burned? Boy, he's talking about that lust that's in your heart. Hey, we've all got it. You got to deal with it. You say, well, I trust my kids. You better not trust them. You better not trust them. I don't care how good they are. That flesh is weak. Amen. And they some old boy or some old girl that will lure them. Amen. It talks about that woman in the Proverbs. Them Proverbs will help you if you get in there and dig around in them things and listen to what the wisest man in the world, and he got involved in it. The love of many strange women turned the heart of Solomon. And he knew all this stuff. He wrote it down. He told his son, he said, this is what happened to you. The flesh. Those that are walking in the flesh cannot please God. A lot of people walking out of the flesh. Hey, the motto of today, if it feels good, do it. That's why it's so important. Your apparel. Your apparel. What you wear is important, by the way. Some people say, well, it don't matter what I wear. God knows my heart. It does matter for us, this matter of modesty. Now, I'm not talking about fine clothing and all that stuff, what we were talking about in there. I'm talking about when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes inside. And when you put on something that you shouldn't be putting on, hey, that Holy Ghost is going to say, He's going to say, What happened? You keep pushing Him away and say, well, I'm going to wear this. I like this. This is pretty. It feels more comfortable. That's walking out of the flesh. You done made up your mind that you ain't going no further. That flesh is controlling you. That's probably one of the things that people say is not too important anymore, and it is important. It is important. Because the things that man thinks is least important is probably very important. Because it's causing others to sin sometimes. Those that are walking after flesh cannot please God. That flesh will lead you wrong. I'm preaching about pleasing God this morning. they that have no faith cannot please God. Hebrews said, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, you'll never do anything for God. Without faith of getting your salvation nailed down, if you're wishy-washy and you're doubting and always wondering, well, I hope I'm saved, maybe I'm saved, you'll never do nothing with God because you don't have no faith. You don't even have enough faith to believe that God's done what He said He'd do in your heart, that He saved you when you asked Him and come to Him. The devil knows he can't do nothing about your salvation. But if he can keep you doubting, he'll keep you from doing anything. Without faith. You know why we don't see no miracles no more? We don't believe God can do them. We don't believe it's for our age. Well, miracles are for our age. He's still a miracle-working God. He can still do what He did back under in the Old Testament. He can do it. He said, He can't raise dead no more. He raised you, didn't He? The Bible said, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. We were dead in our sins. We couldn't do nothing to please God. But the Holy Ghost of God quickened us. He made us alive when we believed and trusted Jesus as our Savior. And you hath He quickened. I hadn't thought about that until just then. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses. Every one of us just dead Gentile dogs. And the Holy Ghost wooed us and drawed us. And we repented of our sins and placed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He made us alive. I'm alive this morning. I'm not dead anymore. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The reason these pews are not filled this morning, we don't have faith to believe that God can still save people. The reason we don't witness, we don't believe that God's able to give us the words to say. You know what keeps you from witnessing today? Fear. Fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. We've not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. When we got saved, God, He took away that fear. Most of the fear we've got is self-inflicted fear. We fear what somebody's going to think about us. We fear we're going to offend somebody sometime. We're afraid we're going to drive them further away. Where are you going to drive them? They're just going to hell already. How much further can you drive them? If we have faith and we pray for the Lord to lead us and direct us in the right way, I promise you, we won't drive them away. And some of them, it's reprobate, you know, they may drive away. But if God's working, you ain't going to drive them away. If He's working, you ain't going to drive them away. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's why we don't do nothing. We have no faith. We don't believe that God can. That He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So if we're going to please God, we've got to have faith. We believe that He can. We just don't believe He will in this day and hour that we're living in. Well, I've seen it work in times past. In my boyhood years, I've seen God move in them revival meetings. They'd give the invitation, the Holy Ghost would move. And you know why He moved? Because them old men of God, they had faith. They'd been down in the woods somewhere praying. And they believed that God was going to do something. So without faith, it's impossible. The reason we're not seeing anything done today is we don't have faith to believe. It's going to take faith. The same faith that saved you in believing God's Word, that He'll do what He said He would do in that book. So, those that are not pleasing to God. And then we see, number two, those who are pleasing God. Those who ask the right things of God are pleasing to God. First Kings 3. Let's read one passage of Scripture. 1 Kings 3. Verses 9 and 10. So we know the story, if you've read your Bible, of Solomon there when he was in Gideon, and the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and he said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee, and that thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, it is as it is this day. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And the servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude." Listen to this. Verse 9 says, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. So we see, those who are pleasing to God are those that ask the right things of God. Now Solomon, he could have asked for worldly pleasure. He could ask for wealth. He didn't. He asked for wisdom to know how to judge and to lead God's people. And because he asked the right thing, God gave him all those other things. I mean, the Queen of Sheba come, and she's seen how great Solomon was. She's seen his servants. She's seen the riches that he had, and she was speechless. Solomon didn't ask for all that. He asked how to judge the people rightly. So we see God is pleased with those that ask the right things. We see that God is pleased with those who are separated for God. It pleases God when we'll separate unto God, from sin and unto God. The separation is twofold. Separation from sin and separated to God. We preach about separation from sin. A lot of times we leave the other unpreached. But separation to God, from this world. The Bible said, "Love not the world, neither things in the world. Man love the world, love the Father not in him." So we see those that are separated for God. 2 Timothy 2, verse 4, "This will get us all if we're not careful. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 6. Verse 17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." You want to be received of God? Separate unto Him. Separate from the world and separate unto Him. And then verse 18 said, "And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." So we see those that are separated for God are pleasing to Him. Number three, those who are completely yielded to God. Go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Let me mark this. I'm going to come back here. Those who are completely yielded to God. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21 said, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." We see that those who are completely yielded to God in every capacity of their life, and that's pretty hard to do. Because I dare say that any of us are just completely yielded. We just have to raise up our hands and say, "I'm guilty." Look at ourselves. See where we're at? But Hebrews says it's well-pleasing. We ought to strive to be fully yielded and completely yielded to God on a regular basis. Say, Lord, whatever You'd have me to do today, let me do it. Help me to do it. Give me grace to do it. Give me strength to do it. Help me to be fully yielded to You in every capacity of my being. So those who are completely yielded to God are pleasing God. Those who walk with God. Now, there have been some individuals in the Word of God that walked with Him. The Bible said Enoch walked with God and was not, for the Lord took him. And then you get over into Hebrews there. That was Genesis 5:24. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, the Bible says of Enoch, said, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Do you know it's possible to walk with God today? Enoch walked with God for, 365 years? He didn't even have a Bible. He didn't even have a Bible. And here we are. We got the full canon of Scripture, 66 books of the Bible that's been translated into English, King James Version, that we can understand. We ought to be able to walk with God, but seemingly some of us can't walk for a week without faltering by the wayside. Because we're not staying in His book. We're not staying on our knees. We're not staying in prayer. We're not staying with that relationship and allowing Him to help us in our walk. Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, it talks about Noah found grace. Noah walked with God and he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. During that antediluvian day when wickedness was abounding on every hand and God was fixing to destroy the world, Noah was walking with God. Seemingly nobody cared. It sort of seems like it was like our day, don't it? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. They were just... life was going on just as it is today. Things is going on. Yet Noah, during all that anarchy and all those problems that was going on in the wickedness, Noah just kept on walking with God. No doubt they were mocking him. No doubt when he started building that boat, they really mocked him. Said, what are you doing, Noah? Oh, I'm building a boat. What are you building a boat for? It's going to rain. They said, what's rain? I said, oh, it falls out of the sky. They never had seen it rain before. And no doubt they mocked him. But oh, Noah, he was a preacher of righteousness. He preached for 120 years. The judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. I'm going to tell you what, the men of God have been really preaching the judgment of God for the last 100 or so years. If you go back and look, I mean, judgment preaching has been a reality in our day and hour that we're living in. And can I say that judgment's coming this morning? You don't start embracing the things that the United States is embracing and this world's embracing today and condoning and not expect the judgment of God to come. He didn't let them get by in Noah's day, and He'll not let them get by in this day and hour that we're living in. Judgment's coming. And though Noah's preacher of righteousness, he just kept walking with God. And he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I wonder, if we walk with God, I believe we can still find that grace, don't you? You know the difference now? We do. There are people all across this globe in different places. God's got a little remnant of folks here and there. We're not the only ones. You know Elijah, he thought he was the only one. He said, Lord, I'm the only one left of Your prophets, of Your servants. God said, Elijah, I got 7,000 not bowed the knee to Baal. Can I say there's people all across this land that's not bowed the knee to the devil and his forces today? Hey, there's people that still holding this thing together. The salt and the light of this world is why the judgment of God hadn't already come on us, I believe. But if you'll remember, when the Babylonian captivity come in, took place, God was long-suffering. Judah, it was 100 years later that Israel went into the Assyrian captivity, but 100 years later, Judah, because they had some good kings that helped things together, and some they had little spurts of revival here and there. God was long-suffering with them. He gave them another 100 years. But when judgment fell, they was innocent, the innocent people. That everybody hadn't turned their back on God at that time. You had Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hey, there was other of those children of Israel that was still worshiping God. And they got caught up in that captivity just like the people that turned their back on God. So when a judgment comes, where people that still hold in the line are going to be involved. And that's that bunch that's going out of here at the rapture of the church. When judgment comes, innocent people get caught up in it. Because the wheels of God grind slow, but they grind sure. And God's been long-suffering with our nation. 200 years we've been in existence. If you go back and look at the history of the United States, hey, you can see the hand of God. Even when the pilgrims come over and they landed there in the New England colonies, and when they set up there at Plymouth Rock, and how God preserved them through an old Indian that taught them how to get through the winter. He has somebody to help them. And then you see all the things that took place in our history as we pulled away from England, and how God blessed and how God provided. You just have to say the hand of God's been on this country, and He's been merciful to us. But you can't just keep turning away from God and embracing all these things. We're a godless society pretty much today that was built upon religious freedom and a free worship of God. But we've gotten away from it. Those that are pleasing to God. Those who walk with God. Can I say feels? Those who praise God are pleasing to God. Psalm 69 verse 30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also will please the Lord better than ox or bullock that has horns and hooves. He should praise Him better than sacrifice. And then Hebrews chapter 13 verse 15-16 says, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So those who praise God are pleased. He's pleased when we come in here and we worship Him in spirit and truth. Hey, we sing those songs of praise when we come in, and they honor and they uplift the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is pleased with biblical worship. Now, He's not pleased with unbiblical worship this morning. No, sir. He wants us to be biblical. That's why He gives us the books of the Bible to know how to behave ourselves in the house of God. All this stuff going on around this world, all that is not pleasing worship to God today. Anything outside the realm of this book is not pleasing to Him. So we see those who are pleasing to God, those who are not pleasing to God, and then let me say promises to those who please God, lastly. Number one, their enemies should be at peace with them. You want your enemies to be at peace with you? Then be pleasing to God. Proverbs 16, verse 7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with Him. You know, the reason a lot of people got so many enemies, their ways are not pleasing to God. I'm going to tell you, it's hard to walk outside this book right here and not love people and not refrain from our opinions all the time, getting involved in this or getting involved in that. We make enemies sometimes when we ought to study to be quiet and mind our own business. Paul talked about going to the courts with your brother. And churches will get involved in court lawsuits sometimes. And I'm sure there's some things that's not been helped, but I'm going to tell you, if we can help it, we better not do it, because if we can get by and just drop something, we better. It causes even the enemies to be at peace with you. when your ways please God. You want your enemies? A lot of our enemies are self-inflicted. We've made those enemies because we've not been obedient to the Word of God. If we're walking in that Bible, people's going to hate us, but I'm going to tell you, we don't have to have enemies. It'll cause some of them. So pray for those that despitefully use you. Instead of trying to get at them and get even, just pray for them. Those that cause problems in the church, pray for them. Pray that the Lord will help them. It's so easy, though, to sometimes think that we've got to take a stand at everything. And there, mind you, there's some things we need to take a stand about. But there's some things, if you let a sleeping dog lay, he'll just lay there sometimes. You go to rousting him up and trying to wake him up, he'll bite you. When our ways please God, it causes even our enemies. That's a promise from God. I don't know that I've got any enemies this morning. Not that I'm all my ways please God, I'm sure that I don't, but some people, all they've got is enemies. They make an issue of everything. It's just like, I got to prove a point. And it stems from pride. And they make a lot of enemies as they go along. Preachers make a lot of enemies sometimes. You know, you can preach hard and preach in the right attitude, in the right way. You get up and stand on somebody all the time and just trying to pick a fight and make them mad. Just preach thus saith the Word of God. You don't have to prove point every time. I told you about what? Brother Andy Wells said they was topical preachers, textual preachers, expository preachers, and then there was suppository preachers. They think they got to clean everybody out every time they get up to preach. He said, that's not nice. I thought it was funny. Wasn't ugly. It's a point. When a man's ways please God, it'll cause even his end. That's a promise. Those promises to those that who please God, their prayer shall be answered. 1 John 3:22 says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." You want your prayers to be answered? Be pleasing in the sight of God. Let your ways, your enemies be at peace with you, and you can know your prayers are going to be answered. And then their name shall be everlasting. Isaiah 56, verse 4 and 5 says, "For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place, a name better than the sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off." Hey, you want an everlasting name? Be pleasing to God in your ways. Pleasing God. I want to please Him, don't you? The world's not pleased with what we're doing. Most of them. They just want to go on in their liberal outlook, their liberal ways. They don't want nothing to do with God. They don't want nothing to do with God's people. But I just want to please Him this morning. How about you?